running your own personal brand, it always has to come from your energy, your drive, your dreams. It's your goals. You take action on it.
Welcome to Million Dollar Flip Flops, the podcast that invites you on a transformative journey to unlock the secrets of living life to the fullest. In this podcast, we dive deep into the minds of thought leaders, game changers, and business builders from around the world. If you're a business owner feeling trapped, overwhelmed, and longing for the time freedom you once dreamt of, this podcast is your beacon of hope. Buckle up, because here we go.
So, for people who don't know you, because I know you very well, who are you? What do you do? Like, just kind of start with the rundown. That's probably where we'll start the show.
Yeah, my name is Gregers, and I'm, of course, an entrepreneur living in Denmark, but as much an artist, songwriter, producer during the last 15 years, maybe more or less. I've been playing a lot of live shows and music, started a few companies in the music business here in Denmark, and traveled a lot with music, traveled around the world to write music and meet up with other songwriters and producers. And I was signed as a songwriter to an American publishing company in New York a few years back, and I visited a lot of places in Asia and the States with my music. So that's my journey. And then I had kids 6 years ago, and my life took a huge turn, and I tried to develop a new way of living, not as much touring, not as much traveling, but created, amongst other things, created some studios here in the northern part of Denmark where I live, almost a studio collective with other songwriters and small business owners where we can, you know, develop great ideas together and just have a day-to-day life, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, love it. So I think, you know, you're in one of my testimonial videos, and I actually had a friend of mine, Priscilla. So Priscilla, hey, if you're listening to this, but she was looking through a new landing page we're doing, and she brought up the fact, she said, I love that you have an artist in your testimonials. She said, because it's people think artists aren't entrepreneurs.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so have you experienced that? Like, people are surprised that you're this businessman too and a talented artist?
Definitely. I'll say one of my big themes in my life has been, can I be both? Can I be both the businessman and the artist? And in one project, actually, I just want to mention this. I work with a guy. He's a priest. He's working in a church. That's his day job, you know, being a priest. And then he creates like this electronic rock music sort of thing and going to this world. So it's a huge mashup, like two worlds meeting. And he's all about this, you know, having two more or less identities or personas that you can go in and out from or try to combine and actually benefit from both worlds while doing it. And I had a great conversation with this guy a few days ago, actually, about this, where I say, I'm not a priest, but I'm a businessman, and I'm here to, you know, to sell something and, you know, grow companies and do sales and business. The way people see artists, sometimes it's, you know, it's right. A lot of musicians I know don't know anything about business. They just want to create music, drink coffee, sit in the studio, you know, start late, you know, sleep, you know, start, I don't know.
And hope the money rolls in.
Yeah, it's a different kind of life, I guess. But for me, actually, having kids was something that brought more of a normal rhythm into my, you know, day-to-day life, like trying to start in the morning, come back, you know, at the same time with my girlfriend came home. She's a teacher, and you can have this more normal rhythm in our day-to-day life. And I felt like that was actually a gift to me, getting a bit more structure, because, you know, everything melts together. That's a gift and a curse that you have to balance, where, you know, when you work with something you love and you're so passionate about.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I know we talk about that a lot, right?
Definitely.
I think what comes up for me when you talk about that, the kind of the structured time and the creativity, I've spent the last 6-8 months just personally really diving into the twin cycles of rest and creativity, right? And for me, it's my art looks like writing a book recently, or for other people, it might be different in their business, but I feel like there's times you can't force it. Like, I can't say I'm going to go write my book from 4 to 5 today because that's the time block. It just doesn't work that way. And it's like, when it comes, it comes. And I know you experience that in the music world. So How do you justify those or rectify those two things, I guess?
That's actually an interesting theory that I've talked to, because when we built our studio, we came back from South Korea, where they have a big thing called K-pop. If you don't know it, check it out. But K-pop is Korean pop music, got huge. You know, Coldplay did a mashup with a Korean, like a K-pop band, and it's huge. Anyways, we went to Seoul in South Korea, and we visited these almost, I'd say, pop factories. You know, you have one huge building with songwriters and producers, one building with the dancers and the show, you know, getting made and created. And then you have one building for the business. So it's very like you have three buildings. Anyways, it was just us going back to Denmark, and we thought, can we build this like a small local factory, like a K-pop factory in the city we live? Not creating K-pop, but creating art, creating music, and actually, you know, working every day from, I don't know, 8, 9 in the morning and then till 3, 4 in the afternoon. Going back, we have kids, you know. And then you're forced to actually be creative within those hours, and you have to create that. We were working with DJs. We produced top lines, you know, that's vocals for the DJs. They do the instrumentals, and then we have to create all the vocals. And we have to be creative, you know, writing lyrics, writing the melodies, recording stuff within that specific time frame. And what came to me was, actually, I was just as creative as when I waited for it. You know, earlier on, you know, maybe I went to, I don't know, some summer house somewhere by the ocean or something like that. I love doing that, but I created some great shit within the 8 till 3, actually. When we did that, we started, you know, to force ourselves into this frame in order to live a fulfilled life with family and kids and stuff like that. And I, you know, in my opinion, of course, writing blocks, it's a thing. I know, you know, it's not the greatest work every day you go to work, but you can definitely, in my opinion, you can definitely set some structure around the creating process, and then you can edit it later, or, you know, work the material on behalf of something, you know, but you can force yourself into 9 o'clock, I'm starting.
Yeah.
And for me, it was, but I know the feeling. I know the feeling, and some days are not as good as others. But I learned a lot those first years, actually, coming back from that journey.
This is so fascinating, like, because I would be interested to know if it's the sheer volume that you're putting in, knowing that you're doing it every day, and know that some days are going to be shit, some days are going to be good, but versus waiting for inspiration to where, okay, I'm creating for 8 hours a week. Now I'm creating for 40 hours a week. So just by volume, something good has to come out of that, right?
Definitely. Definitely. I heard Ed Sheeran talking about this, actually. He talks about the, you know, the flow, the creative flow coming from, I don't know, beyond or wherever it comes from. Like in the beginning, you just have to do it. Just write, whether it's a book, film, videos, photos, editing, whatever you do. And then he said, like, it's almost like when an old tap water, you know, going to the, it's dirty water in the beginning, and then, you know, like, let it flow, let it run. And then, after some time, it becomes more and more clean. And then in the, you know.
Oh, yeah. I like that analogy.
That's a picture he had in it, you know, and then, you know, the source, the flow of creativity, the ideas maybe become, you know, sharper and better. And it doesn't take as long time after, you know, a few months you've been doing it every day. So it's almost like training that creative muscle. And then you can walk into a room and just, there's a hook line. Here you go. Boom. That's a hit, you know. And some songwriters say, like, in 10, 15 minutes, that's how the greatest songs were written. You know, it's just boom. A spark that morning. But I guess, of course, some quantity is a part of that equation, because you need to do a lot, and then some of it is really good, and you have a lot of like mediocre in the middle sort of
products. I was just watching Justin Timberlake he was on Saturday Night Live, and then he was on Jimmy Fallon, and those two are so great together, right?
Definitely.
He said for this album, there's 18 songs on his new album, they created 100 songs.
Yeah.
Like what? In theory, they're all pretty good, right?
And my heart is sometimes when I hear that, my heart is bleeding, because I know some of the songs that were, you know, thrown away is great songs. It's great material. And of course, he has a huge, you know, A&R artist and repertoire team around him deciding what to, you know, release and stuff. And I know that, of course, they pick maybe the 18 best hit songs or whatever. But sometimes I feel like, oh, man. Actually, a lot of artists recently started releasing all the B-sides. All the ideas, also just rough demos, rough ideas, sketches. And especially, I guess, if you have a following of people that really love your work, that's interesting for them as well. You know, bringing them in. Here's idea A, then the B, and then the C, and then the final product somehow, some way, you know.
Yeah. Exposes then, the journey a little bit more.
Yeah. And some people are streaming that as well. So you earn money on that as well. So I think it's also for your business. It's, I love the idea of bringing them, taking, you know, come along to my, you know, where I work and see my ideas and see how I created the hit.
Yeah.
So the journey.
I don't know if you listen to rap music, but like one of my favorite albums was Ice Cube's Bootlegs and B-Sides. It was not like a hit, you know, album, but it was so good. Anyway.
But that's what I miss about albums, actually. You know, because nowadays it's been a lot of singles, maybe an EP is 3 or 4 songs. But the album you have, you couldn't have, I don't know, 20 or 25 hit singles. You had some just songs or feelings, emotions they wanted to share with the world or a production or, you know. So anyways, that's what I miss about that.
Yeah. I think that's part of the reason I like the Foo Fighters so much, you know, is they're just like a classic rock, classic in the terms of classic way they do it, rock band, you know, where I can listen to the entire album and it makes sense, you know, and you're so right. Like everything is built. I think we talked about it on our last call, but there was Rick Rubin saying, you know, I make things for me. And then if other people like them, great.
Dude, the funny stuff is I have this book, The Creative Act, A Way of Being. That's the book, right?
You're talking about. Yeah, he was on an interview and he was just talking about the way he makes music. And it's versus that K-pop or, you know, where Justin's songs get pared down to those 18. It's somebody thinking, what will people like versus the artist getting to do what they like. And we talked about that when you started doing more stuff in Danish. You know, it's for yourself. If other people like it, it will resonate with the right people, right?
Exactly. Yeah, because my journey within, you know, I live in Denmark. I speak Danish. That's my fluent language. That's what I do every day. But for me, I worked with funk and jazz music when I started soul music, something, in my opinion, very American, actually. Like, anyways, you're really good at it. The whole gospel, soul, jazz thing, the whole history part of that. So for me, writing in English, listening to English music, the idea of getting, you know, going travel the world. And I guess I couldn't play the Danish songs as easy as I could play the English songs in other markets. So for me, that's why I wrote in English. But anyways, I missed something, the small, funny details in the language. And then nowadays, when I started writing Danish again, I can play around with the language. I can play around with, you know, metaphors in the language. So for me, a creativity spark, you know, something comes from that just, you know, just by coming back, revisiting something else. Anyways, I've had it all along, but I didn't do it for 15 years.
Yeah.
And so now I forgot what you said.
No, it doesn't matter. I think about when you say that, and I think about how difficult it would be to do something in two languages. You know, I speak fluent Spanish, but I lived in Costa Rica for a while, and the thing that always stuck out to me was that I couldn't tell jokes. And like, I tell a lot of jokes, right? Like that's my thing. Or movie quotes, like things like that, right? Like that's just like my little quips. And you couldn't do it in Spanish. Like you just didn't land.
No, exactly.
You know, same thing, right?
That's a big thing. It's a big thing. And I have, of course, I have a lot of friends around the world and we speak English and we come from everywhere, you know, wherever. And especially with my American friends and the English friends, of course, I speak English and I do it. I can communicate. We can have a conversation. But of course, some parts of that conversation isn't as fluent, as fast, or, you know, the jokes or some special word I don't remember or whatever. So for me, going back to my mother tongue, you know, writing in Danish, and Denmark is a small country. We only have like 6 million people here. So it's more or less just a big city in Germany, more of, right? So here, going back to this will be my, I don't know, I can come back and play here. I can write the songs. I can, you know, connect with people here, but then I can go out to the world and do whatever and then come back and play every summer, sort of. That's the idea in my head anyways.
Yeah. So bringing it back to business a little bit, you know, I tell people, I work with a lot of young coaches that are, they're just coming out of, they got their, you know, they went to Brown or they went and got a different kind of certificate to coach. But they don't know how to get clients. They haven't the faintest clue. And I think it comes for anything that we do. It's like, follow your passion and then take a course in sales and marketing, or else nobody's going to know that you're great at this thing. Right. And I'm sure you see that with artists. You know, what advice would you give to not even young artists, but just people who are super talented, but they don't know how to get themselves out there. They don't know how to run a business. Like, what do you suggest for those people?
I would definitely say, like, I wouldn't say go to college, but, you know, educate yourself, whether it's YouTube, books, podcasts, take part in network sessions, go to the, you know, festivals and meet people. The whole your network is your net worth is your network or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's pretty true, I guess, in every industry, but especially in my life, it's always been like, I met some person, a new door opened. I met another person, a new door opened. And then also taking in, like, watching people act, like professionals act. What are they doing? How did they do it? How did they build their business? And also, you can be an artist and have a bit, you need to take action on the business side of it as well. Otherwise, you can forget it. You need to go take some, you know, day job, and you'll never have time to create music. You can never, you know. So for me, I guess the most successful people I've met started, and they did it, and they went in every day, and they worked as hard on their art, the songs, whatever, as in any other job. And they also educated themselves on how to start a business, how to get, you know, do your taxes. What about this? What about that? And take care of yourself as a business person, because, you know, otherwise you won't last. And a lot of songwriters anyways, or artists and stuff like that, I experienced, they set limits for themselves, sort of like, yeah, I'm just a creative. I don't know anything about, you know, blah, blah, blah. So they put themselves into a box. They don't need to, you don't need to stay in that box. You can be creative. You can be a star and still run it like a business. So I know we talked about Jay-Z, for example, like being a rap artist, but being an entrepreneur and just, you know, kicking ass as a businessman as well. We have a few Danish people, actually. We had a huge artist in Denmark. He just died, but he did a lot of music for films, film scores, and, you know, very, very famous theme songs in Danish. And he owned a hell of a lot of real estate, and he ran a lot of businesses. And he was, I think, the president of some local Universal Music office in Copenhagen, but he was still an artist. So that's very inspiration, bring a lot of inspiration to my life as, you know, as an entrepreneur. But I love to create, but I love to do business at the same time.
Hey gang, I hope you're enjoying today's episode. Normally, this is where you'd be asked to buy something or go download some lead magnet. Not here. You may or may not know that we are on a mission to change 1 million entrepreneurs' lives with this podcast, the book, the journal, and more. And through our foundation, we want to send 1 million kids on life-changing trips. After all, 100% of our profits are donated from everything we do. Here is where you come in. If you're enjoying today's episode, and I hope you are, it likely made you think of someone who needs to hear it. Pause me right now, I'll wait, and share the episode with them. It's the only way we can impact as many business owners as possible, and you never know whose life you could change. Now back to the show. I think you nailed it with the, you know, people impose their own limits. I mean, obviously I see it every day in coaching, right? Like, that's most of what I deal with on a daily basis is not that I think what we see more often than not is somebody has a specific niche that they work in. And they think, well, nobody's going to want that, right? I have to be a generalist. I have to help people with everything. And then nobody hears their message. And it's the same for songs, right? Like, you're making a song that 80% of people are not going to like, but 20% of people are going to love, right? And it's, you can't make a song that everyone in the world loves. And you see that on the business side so often. And it's because they think local. They think in terms of the 20 people they know in their circle. And they go, well, Tammy's the only one that might buy that, and she probably won't. There's 7 billion people on this earth.
Exactly. And I'm deep diving into this super fan funnel right now, like creating, I think it's 1,000 fans or something like that. You can bring that into every industry. Find like 500 or 1,000 like followers that really joins your, I don't know, whatever membership you have, and then they become, you know, ambassadors for your brand and your act. In my case, my music. And that's with, you know, Google ads, TikTok campaigns, Instagram campaigns. Like if I started any other business, I need to take action on this. And if I sign my music to Universal or Sony or Warner Music, I'm just signing with a kick-ass marketing bureau. That's not a, you know, it's not a music company. It's a branding and marketing company owning music rights, you know, investing in music rights. So if you take that as, you know, scale it down and it's only you as an artist, create your team around yourself and treat it as if you were a marketing company or something like that. Create, you know, and a production company. And I guess a lot of creative people maybe feel they, you know, get lost in this. Like then they have to spend too much time on that. And I'll say, just find good people and outsource everything you can that you're not good at, but you still need to, you know, you still need to know it exists and how to approach it and how to do a strategic roadmap or whatever.
Yeah. There's so much to it, isn't there? There's so much to it.
It's insane. And some days I feel like, yeah, I understand people. I can't change it. But I'm an entrepreneur by, you know, since I was born, but I understand why people take a job, right? The fake safety or whatever. It's like, oh, somebody took care of this. Just give me my salary. I can go to work, do what I'm good at. Go home, you know.
Yeah.
Be with my kids, whatever.
Yeah, it's not an easy road, you know. And I think that's why most people who try to be an entrepreneur will say, like, they don't realize how fucking difficult it really is. I mean, everything, just what we've talked about in the last 25 minutes, and that's 5% of running a whole business.
Yeah.
You know, and then you get into the stuff I work in, where it's more building something that serves you. That has nothing to do with operations and processes. And, you know, and that's a whole other thing to unravel. It's wild. It's a wild ride.
It's a wild ride. And something I wanted to, I don't know if I want to ask you about it, but I wanted to, anyways, hear your opinion.
No, fire away, man. Open book.
Because when you build what you do, you're building a personal brand just as an artist. You know, what I felt like when I walked away from being an artist through like 10 years, and I felt like now I need to do something else for, and I did it for 5 years, and I just recently came back, wanted to become my own brand again and rebrand myself. I guess also for a guy like you, you're, you know, running your own personal brand, it always has to come from your energy, your drive, your dreams. It's your goals. You taking action on it. And I could understand if some people runs out of gas in that journey, in that day-to-day, you know, you need to be very driven, kick yourself, you know.
That's where what we just touched on, that other piece of it comes in, you know, making every decision so that it's in line with who you want to become as a person. You know, that's why that piece of it is so important, because this isn't work to me. You know, when I do strat calls with people, when I do 20-minute calls with people, we may or may not work together, but I still love it. You know, I love hearing about people's businesses. I love sending them away with a plan, even if they don't use me to help implement it. You know what I mean? So I never feel like I'm working. So I never run out of energy for it. I never stop loving to learn about it. I never, you know, so it's, I think that's the key, you know, and it sounds trite, and you see the memes, you know, follow your passion. And it's like, but it's really true, you know, because then you're not building a job, you're just building a life. And that's why we call it business life integration, right? It's not balance, it's integration.
Yeah, definitely. And also, like, follow your passion and the money will come. I've always heard that. And
my mom said that to me since I was this
big. You know, I think, of course, you know, it's right. But you need to say, but you got to work hard for it. You know, but in the beginning, at least, you know, or, you know, you gotta be also, in my opinion, you need to be aware of how to do it, or find mentors, or, you know, educate yourself in some way or the other around your passion and take it serious. Also something I tell myself, like, remember to walk the talk somehow, like, because I coached a lot of artists. I coached, you know, besides creating music, at some point younger people started hitting me up and, hey, how do you do what you do? And then now I feel like, hey, man, I need to walk what I'm telling these guys. I need to be the example. And that's why I want to, you know, learn more constantly going back in, sort of. I still feel like I have this. Yeah. You need to do that as well.
Yeah. And that's what I've always loved about being an entrepreneur is you can continuously reinvent what your life looks like. And I think that what my goal was when I sold the last business and didn't really have to do anything. The reason I do this is to impart that little piece of knowledge into people and to get them pointed in the right direction so that it's not, you know, I always use the Tolstoy quote. I start the book with it. I start so many things with it, but, you know, ending up on your deathbed and saying, what if my whole life was wrong? You know, there's just nothing more terrifying than that to me. And like, when is now a good time to start pointing in the right direction? And I think when you do that, it's, you can't help but become an expert in it. And you can't help but become better and be able to help more people. And I put a post up, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and it was a play on, I don't know if you follow Chris Du, The Future, FUTUR, should check him out. He's a creative, but a monster business. And I just love the way he looks at life, but it was more or less, you know, decide what you want your life to look like, backfill that with the skills necessary, and then do it.
Yeah. And then say,
and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
It's simple in theory, but it's hard in practice.
And actually last night I attended some online webinar, a masterclass with, I have a friend, he used to travel the world and be a tour guide. At some point he meet a German woman and they start some restaurants across South America and ends up on a beach in Mexico. I don't remember if they sold the restaurant or something, but something went down and they were like, fuck, what are we going to do now? And her name is Carla Biesinger. I just want to give her a shout out. I, you know, attended last night and she's really cool. She started, like, she wanted to help people in the industry selling on Instagram. And then she became this Instagram influencer in how to build passive income, how to build a personal brand and stuff like that. And she grew the business more or less solely on Instagram to, I think it's $3 million now and just running it and like really kicking ass. And she's always talking about also like, if you're only like 2 or 3 steps ahead of someone, you can help them. Or, you know, you don't have to be the biggest fucking thing in the world.
100%. Just
take where you're at now, and then reverse engineer it and then take the steps. And every step is a course. Every step is a book. Every step is a podcast episode, sort of, right? And that's, to me, that's inspiring. Definitely.
Yeah. I write about that in the book. I say, you know, if I'm 10 years old and I'm trying to learn to dribble a basketball, Michael Jordan's not the best person to help me. The 12-year-old down the street who just learned to dribble is going to have way more tips for me get me to the next level. And then once I'm at that level, I find another. It's why I have a coach. You know, it's you're always learning from the person there. And I say it over and over again. You've heard me say it 1,000 times. It's like you will get there eventually. You pay a coach for speed. You know, you might be 60 and figure out that you needed to be doing what you love. You pay a coach to figure out how to get you there in 6 weeks or a year or 6 months, you know, not 20 years. So yeah, for sure. So man, I want to be respectful of your time. I know it's late in the day there in Denmark. How can people find you? What's give us Instagram, website, you know, how do people find Gregers?
Check me out. Gregers Music, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. Just recently started to do a lot in Danish again, of course, but I have a lot of songs in English. I have gregersmusic.dk. Where I'll be building my artist academy, slowly but steady, looking into this, doing courses, doing live clinics and online stuff as well. Maybe in Danish at first, but eventually in English again, I think. And anyways, just hit me up. I work with a lot of stuff in the music industry across the world, whether it's songwriting, you know, hooking you up with labels, management deals, publishing companies. Come to Denmark, we can do stuff. So just hit me up.
Amazing. Brother, thank you so much for coming on the show. I had a blast. I know that there's a ton of value in here for the listeners. So I just want to thank you again for coming on.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
I hope you enjoyed the episode today on the $1 Million Flip Flop Podcast. Make sure to hit subscribe on your chosen platform that you listen on. If this episode make you think of someone, go ahead, take a screenshot and share this episode with them. Or post it on your social media to share with your friends. You can catch the show notes for this episode and any mentioned links in the description of this episode. If you want to see more behind the scenes with Roderick and his guests, be sure to find them on Instagram. It's also where we can have deeper conversations on these episodes. Go to www.instagram.com/milliondollarflipflops. Until next time.